Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
This is Bold Women on the Move, the show for migrant women making their way in New Zealand and across the world. With your host, Morenike. Welcome, dear listeners, to another episode of Bold Women on the Move. Yeah, it's good to be in your space again. If you've been following us, we recently started a project and we have another awesome woman in the studio with us today to help us look at that project. If you're wondering what it is called Now That We Are Here. Now That We Are Here. Now, the idea behind this project and series of podcasts is we would like to capture the various information that we believe a migrant woman should have when she moves into New Zealand as a country. So this series of podcasts are like a compendium of knowledge for every migrant woman in New Zealand. And I'd like to let you know we've got like a 10-part in this series, and this will be the third recording in this episode. There are quite a number of interesting issues and topics that we feel that as a migrant woman, we should have in New Zealand. So let's get on to it. Now, today we're looking at an issue that we believe is very important. In fact, it's at the heart of migrating to a new country. We know that one of the hallmark of a developed country is education. There is high regard, there are laws even backing education in a developed country. And New Zealand being classified as a developed country, we know that education to a certain level is compulsory. Mark that word, is compulsory. That is, to a certain age, your child must be in school. But, you know, being from different backgrounds, countries, ethnic countries like Africa or some part of Asia or some part of Latin America or any part of the world, we all know that there are different educational systems. So this podcast aim is for us to understand the New Zealand education system. We want to understand how it works so that those of us that have come in and we have our kids with us, we can understand how to support them or what support system are in place for our family and our children when we move into this country. And luckily for us, you know, we are bold women, we are dynamic women, we are great women. We have a lovely person in the studio with us today, Amanda Smith. She's from South Africa. She'll tell us a bit about it, but she's an expert when it comes to education. We'll know that reason very soon. And she will be highlighting and giving us information about the importance of moving to New Zealand and the educational system that operates in New Zealand. So this episode wants to enlighten us about the educational system in New Zealand and how we as a migrant community can make this work for us. So Amanda, welcome to Bold Women on the Move and welcome to Now That We Are Here.
Thank you so much. Okay. It's my second time and I'm really looking forward to today.
Yeah, Amanda has been here some years ago, maybe 2 years or 3 years ago, to share a beautiful story of moving to New Zealand. And she's such an awesome person and has come again to join us in this, what we call a podcast series titled Now That We Are Here. So, Amanda, let's get on to it. would you like to tell our listeners at home what we believe qualified you to be able to speak to us and enlighten us about this topic on the educational system in New Zealand?
Wow, great first question. I think, first of all, I just want to say that I just agree with your introduction around the importance of education and understanding the education system when you are moving countries. Mm. Originally, I studied and taught in South Africa and then moved to New Zealand after teaching in South Africa for about 5.5 years. Mm. And so it was interesting for me to actually see the difference from a professional perspective, and then also as I was teaching later on in the education system when I had my daughter and seeing her go through the education system now. So I guess I'll be speaking from both sides today, from a professional side and from a mother.
A mother. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, two authentic perspectives to the issue of the educational system in New Zealand. And we're glad to really have you. Now, let's get on to the first question. Could you please paint for us a general overview, you know, of the New Zealand education system? What does it look like?
The education system in New Zealand is big and broad. So I will just start talking about my perspective and feel free to just interject and ask questions as I go along.
Okay, yeah.
But basically, the New Zealand education system is very much student-centred. So I come from a system where, yes, to an extent it was student-centred, but it was very much based on an assessment and testing philosophy.
Oh, okay. Some of us can relate to those differences.
And so it was very interesting for me to move from that very assessment-based focus system, which, you know, while I was teaching there, it was absolutely fine. So, you know, moving over here, it was slightly different because you have a whole classroom of about 25 students to 30 students. Mm. And when it's student-centered, you need to take care of all the learning styles within the classroom, where these students come from, what their needs are, and how you can make sure that each and every one of those learn and learn well. So that's the basis of the system. In the New Zealand system, you start either at early childhood, but it's really about 13 years in the formal school system, where you go from year 1 to year 13. In that time, there are different foci as you go across the school. So it's very much about ages and stages and what we are learning at those different stages. So when you're looking at the structure of the school system, you as an early childhood mum with children from between 0 and 5, you will go into the early childhood education system. And it's not a compulsory system.
Okay, that stage is not compulsory.
Not compulsory.
From zero to five, it's not compulsory.
Yeah.
Which means a child can stay home with the mom or the dad at that time.
At that time, absolutely. Okay. And depending on the parents or your own situation in terms of whether you're both working or you're working part-time and so on, you can work out how you want to enter the education system. So in early childhood, you can have your child in there from, you know, from 0 to 5. Mm. Most of that you will need to pay, but from the ages of 3 to 5, you get 20 hours paid for by the government.
Per week? That's per week, right?
Yeah. So so that just makes it easier to make some decisions around how you are going to how you're going to work in your family in terms of going back to work or study as a parent.
Okay.
And I emphasize that because that is an important you know, career decision making at that stage for you as mum or dad or as a family. So that's the early childhood, and then from 5, New Zealand celebrates the fifth birthday. And usually on your fifth birthday, you can go to school.
The formal school.
Big school.
And that's where the compulsory school. Starts.
And that's when compulsory education starts.
Yeah. Okay.
So and that's your primary school. So from where I come from, it's primary and then you go to high school.
Mm.
So New Zealand mostly, it's primary and then high school. But there is a little slot in between. So some schools, primary schools, will go from year one right up to year eight.
Mm.
But some go from year one to year six. And then we have this little middle school, which is called intermediate school.
Mm.
And so that is really 2 years before you go to high school. And they just focus on getting the students prepared for high school. So it's getting them to understand that you've got different subject areas and you've got responsibilities around those subject areas in terms of your learning and what you need to take home to learn and so on. So, and then you will move into high school, which is from year 9 to year 13.
Mm.
So that's the general structure. So when you get into high school, it is very focused on subject areas.
Mm.
So formal subjects, English, maths is your key, and then it's the range of all the subjects.
Mm.
So we've got what we call STEM subjects, which is your science, technology, and maths, and then a whole lot of subjects surrounding that.
Mm.
So we can talk more about detail about what all of that means later.
Yes. So I was just going to also ask, let's slide down a bit because those are, and you know, because we both share this migration background, there are things that we experienced. Now, one of the first interpretation difficulty I had was interpreting the word year. When you say year 1 to year 13, you know, it gives the impression that a child starts school at the age of 1 year old. That was the impression I heard. And it was difficult to be able to finally figure it out that year 1 started at age 5.
Yes.
Can you confirm
Correct.
That? So year 1 started at age 5.
Yeah.
And then the second bit of clarification that I also had to form out is that from year 1, which started at age 5, up to middle school and to high school, you continue to count.
Yes.
And so a child invariably has 13 years of school.
Yeah.
So you add that to the 5 years at the start of the school. So when a child is finishing school, is finishing at the age of 18.
17, 18.
Okay. Mm. So it's good for, to be able to have that perception about the years, you know, how it goes, how it's had up, because that was different from the system I was coming from. The system I was coming from, the preschool, hence in the preschool, and then the child goes on to the primary school, and the primary school is from primary 1 to primary 6, and it ends there. And then you go on to high school, which is called secondary school, and that one is also split into two. You get the junior school, which is 1 to 3, and then you get the senior school, which is also another 1 to 3. So, you know, I know that in different countries where we all come from, we have different calculation, but this is the New Zealand system. It goes from year 1, which a child starts in primary 5, and then goes on to year 13, which could be at the age of 17 and 18.
Yeah.
Now, another question that I would like to ask along the structure is, when a child comes into the system, like some of us have experienced, like myself, my kids were already, you know, grown when we came into the educational system. What is the determinant for putting them into the school? What is that age range for putting them into the school? I ask this question because for my daughter, my eldest, she was 13 when we came in, and I discovered that they had to use her age to put her into school. Okay.
Yeah, that's one.
That
one
was
criteria.
Yeah, one criteria. Can you tell us, those criteria that you used to put a school, like new migrants coming into the school, how do they fix them up? What are the determinants that, you know, decide the class they get into in the school system? Yeah.
And that's no one answer.
Okay.
That's what makes it difficult for us. Hey?
Okay.
But essentially, it is your age, because if you look at the New Zealand philosophy, you come into school and you graduate through. And within each of those, your age range, you're moving up every grade. So you're going from year one right to year 13. So when a new person comes in, especially a migrant person, they will be looking at the age range, and then there'll be some testing.
Okay.
So the testing is primarily about, you know, where do you sit alongside the New Zealand curriculum?
Okay.
So it's just looking at your level. And in that as well, we're looking at English language, we're looking at mathematics. But the reason why that is in place, those testing say, it's about support.
Okay.
So if you come into New Zealand and you're year 13, generally you will go into year 9.
Year 9, yep.
13, you're year 9, you start in your New Zealand career. In year 9, if you are perhaps not at the level yet, they will bring in some assistance for you. So you will get additional help to be able to get you to the standard for that year level. Also, what's also tricky to understand here is while you're going through the school system, especially the high school system and primary school system, you might have children in your class that are a year below you or a year above you.
And they'll all be in the same class?
All in the same class.
Okay, so that's about three range of ages in the same class.
Yes, in the same class. And that means that the teacher will be looking at, there'll be topics and part of the curriculum that they're teaching. And then when it comes to doing activities, they will be making sure that the students have got the correct support or the groupings where they can make sure that they are learning and they are upskilling in areas that they're not so strong in. So there is that very much that student-centered support that comes into play.
Mm. At what stage, what determines a child finishing early, like finishing at 17? And what is the youngest age a child could finish in New Zealand?
Like 16.
16?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's acceptable.
Compulsory up to 16, yeah.
So what final exam would that child do? Would they have done the NCA level 2 or will it just be the level 1 entrance?
Yeah. So I guess for your listeners, it's just understanding what that assessment level is in the senior school. You spoke about junior school and senior school. We don't call it junior and senior school, but essentially you're 9 and 10, so when you're 13 and 14, you are still in that preparation stage for your senior school and for external and internal examinations that come later. So when you are at the end of year 10, you are starting to think about what your subject choices are going to be in your senior part of the school. So year 11, 12 and 13. Because in the senior part of the school, we start NCA, so National Certificate in Educational Achievement. Mm. That is our assessment system. And so that starts NCA level 1 when you're
11.
15, which is year 11, and then year 12, and then year 13. So there are some people that can leave between the year 11 and year 12 and 13. Also, where it gets complicated now, and I just feel for parents, all parents, when it comes to NCA, because parents in New Zealand mostly came through a different system.
Yeah, most of us.
So NCA really only started about 27 years ago-ish.
Okay.
Around about that time, around the time that I arrived in New Zealand, that was when they started NCA level 1. Mm. So, you know, so it's been around for a while, but there are some older parents that would have gone through a different system. So them understanding
being able to support their kids since they didn't go through the system.
Yeah, because the previous system was very much about pass-fail.
Okay.
Yeah, pass-fail. And now we're looking at a different system with the NCEA where we talk about achievement. So it's very much about achievement-based. Mm. Have you achieved? So do you know enough of the base knowledge for that subject area to achieve that subject?
Okay, achieved.
To achieve that subject. Mm. Some students, what was really important and what's quite good about the system is that we recognize the different levels of achievement.
Mm.
So we want to know that a student can get through from year 11, 12 to year 13 with the base knowledge of each of the subject areas. So if your child comes home with a report that says they've got achieved for the subject areas, then they've in our understanding passed what they need to know for that level.
Okay.
Yeah. If you see the next thing you might see on there is an M for merit. It means that they understand the base knowledge plus some.
Okay.
And then you will see also on your child's report, and that's very exciting as well, the E, not for exciting, but E
for excellence.
But it is an exciting moment because it means that they've really understood the base knowledge, but they've really excelled in that space. So those are important when it comes to when you're getting towards the end of year 13 and you're looking at further education.
Okay.
And what does that mean if you've got excellences or if you've got achieved or merits? What does that mean for you in terms of the courses that you can get into, or if it's a competitive course, like medicine and law and so on? Those excellences become really important.
Important. At
and
that
so
stage.
Do the merits.
Okay.
So you've got to pass your base, obviously, for that. But that becomes more important towards the end of your education, your senior education in New Zealand.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Amanda. So you can see that Amanda is quite knowledgeable and knows, has experience with the questions, with the questions that we are being posing to her. And one way or the other, we kind of have touched on some of the other aspect, but it's okay. It's a conversation. So when we eventually get to those questions, we can just look a little bit more on those questions. But I want us to hop in on the philosophy of education for New Zealand. And that was what you said is learner-centered. Do you want to explain that concept more, learner-centered? I had taught the New Zealand system from what, the little bit I've seen is also Montessori, using more of the playway system, because what I notice in the classroom is there's lots of emphasis on individual activities. The way the teacher framed the teaching, it's not like using a lecture method.
No.
This is now going into the teaching, philosophy. It's not like using a lecture method, but using a system creating systems of activities or a play with things that students can do by themselves and then learn. So how does this tie up? This system of teaching, which I call the playway method, what we education is known as the Montessori method of education, or the learner center. What is it all? What brings it all together? What is that philosophy?
It is that student center or the learner center.
Learner
so it
center.
Comes back to what I was saying right at the beginning. So we look at the student in front of us and what is their learning style, where are they might be struggling a little bit more, or whether they are actually a little bit more advanced than the others in their class in their age level.
Okay.
So understanding that's important. So it is about the student. So when it comes to what we've just spoken to now in especially the senior levels of schools, that is taken into account when you look at the assessment. So it's achieve, merit, excellence. So all students can be seen in that space. But from a teaching perspective and how you teach, I loved what you were talking about, that whole play about bringing in activities. So I come from, my country where it was, I teach, I am the expert, and you listen.
I like that, the lecturer.
So that's the system I came from.
Yeah.
And in my didactics, when I was learning to be a teacher, that was very much what it was.
Mm.
But I also have my own personality. So, all teachers in the country obviously have their own personality and they'll bring their own style into it. I want to make sure my students understand the concepts that I'm teaching, but they are also able to apply that.
Mm.
So that's an important philosophy to understand as well. What are you learning? What does it mean to you in the greater world? And that comes into a lot of the teaching that we're doing. In your high school years, you will get what we call formative learning.
Yep.
And teaching, and then your assessment. So your formative is about understanding what this means to you. So being able to use those concepts that you've just been taught and applying it into a real life situation or in a project that you're doing or into a scenario, so that you are testing yourself to see that you can apply that.
Wow, that was really, really enlightening. Lots of information to unpack there about the New Zealand education system. And if you're wondering, you know, I've got this cool site. There are lots and lots of cool sites. One thing is that you can always navigate your way and find out more information. If you're new to the country and you have older kids, especially taking the NZQA, and you want to find out what subjects that are university entrance, those are also technical words, I'll just ask you to go on to NZQA. Just type in NZQA and then it brings up the official site for NCEA, and then you can go on. There are so many NCEA student assessments, subjects and learning areas. Even they have past exams, information for teachers, and you know, exemplars, exam timetable, everything is there. External assessment, internal assessment, everything that your kid will need to be able to pass the examination. This conversation continues. Till we come your way again. It is bye for now. Thanks for joining me, Morenike, on Bold Women on the Move. I'd like to thank the Rata Foundation and Ministry for Ethnic Communities for their grants which made this show possible. You can help grow the show by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Bold Women on the Move on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who you think will appreciate this conversation. New episodes come out every second Friday at 11:30 a.m. on Plains Media 96.9 FM and plains.org.nz. You can also follow Bold Women on the Move on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more great content. We'd love to hear from our listeners. And if you have a story to share, please reach out. Details are in the show's link tree, which you can find wherever you're hearing this. Until next time, keep moving boldly towards your dreams.